your beautiful voices singing out the praises of our God on this first Sunday of Advent. As our children are giving their attention to learning about the work of God and the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to be looking here into chapter 1 of the Gospel according to Luke, from verses 26 through 38. And I pray that in a fresh way we will find more certainty about following Jesus Christ. The title of the message today is Messiah's Amazing Birth Announcement, because this is a familiar passage for us, especially at this time of year. It's about Messiah's amazing birth announcement. And as I announced last week, our family is very eager for the arrival of another grandbaby. So we're excited with Brennan and Emily and big sister Lily. What we have before us here, though, is the most amazing birth announcement of all time. Luke chapter 1, beginning of verse 26, we read, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' And she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Lord, we thank you for this revelation. We thank you for this most amazing birth announcement of the Messiah, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, you would give us a fresh appreciation as we consider these things, as we think about Advent with anticipation for your work, and Lord, as we witness with a certainty about following Jesus Christ. So please have your will and your way in all of our lives. Meet our need, our eternal need for you. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would be our teacher. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, pop quiz. Some of you weren't here last week, but here's the question. Who gets Most Unlikely Mother of the Year Award? Who gets Most Unlikely Mother of the Year Award? Well, Elizabeth is who we were talking about last week. She gets runner-up, remember? Elizabeth gets runner-up. No question, Mary wins the honor. The reversal of Elizabeth's barren womb, giving her and Zechariah a son named John, is a great work of God. And the angel said John would be great. But Jesus' supernatural conception in Mary's womb is infinitely greater. It's so much bigger. It's so much better. Luke is writing for gospel certainty in a world that is mired in so many confusing traditions. Many still look at the meaning of Christmas. They will look at the meaning of Christmas 2025. And they look at the meaning of the Bible through the fractured lens called tradition. Tradition. It makes me think of that guy, Fiddler on the Roof, right? Tradition, tradition. But let's just take God at his word in faith. Because as God tells us, without such faith, you can't please God. Faith is taking God at his word. And our faith as God's church must submit to the authority of God's word. God's word is our authority. I think it's valid for us as we remember God's mercies for us every morning. We also remember that every morning we come before God's word and we submit to it. It's over us. It's our authority. Many who profess to be God's church reveal a very serious spiritual disconnect by exalting the traditions of mankind over the revelation of Holy Scripture. You got to do your homework. There is absolutely no biblical support for that tradition that says Mary was born free of original sin through an immaculate conception, or that Mary was perpetually a virgin, or that Mary was assumed into heavenly glory and never died, or that Mary has a Mother of God role as co-redeemer and co-mediator and co-intercessor with God's Son Jesus. You may have noticed the Vatican's announcement from just a few weeks ago on November 3, an announcement approved by Pope Leo instructing Roman Catholics to no longer use the title co-redemptrix for Mary. And this really is saying something. It's saying something about Mary that no longer to refer to her in this co-redemptrix way. I mean, the doctrinal office of the Vatican stated, you can go look this up. Don't Google it right now, but like just after. The statement was that Jesus alone redeems humanity and that using the title co-redeemer or co-redemptrix for Mary could, quote, create confusion and an imbalance, unquote. Well, I would say so. The Vatican's decree clarifies the Roman Catholic belief, however, that Mary's role is to be an intermediary and Christ's mother, but not a co-redeemer. Pope Francis has recently been emphasizing that in the Catholic dogma, the privilege of Marian devotion is about celebrating the tenderness of God, and that Mary is a model for taking care of one another and taking care of creation. And that goes in a number of directions. But I'm just telling you that there are a lot of Mary traditions, and you've got to do your homework. What does the Bible say? We can also take note of Mary traditions that too often have influenced operations on the Protestant side. Like, hey, since we only pray to God, we don't talk about Mary. We don't talk about Mary ever. The 19th century British pastor J.C. Ryle long ago offered this correction. I think this is very good. He says, quote, no woman was ever so highly honored as the mother of our Lord. It is evident that one woman only out of the countless millions of the human race could be the means whereby God could be manifest in the flesh. And the Virgin Mary had the mighty privilege of being that one. Well said, J.C. Ryle. But how do we know what Mary knows? We hear the song, Mary, Did You Know, right? But how do we know what Mary knows? What would Mary say if she could be with us this morning, you know, to give us some insight? And the most important question, what does God say? This is what matters. And it's all right here. It's all right here for our certainty in Luke chapter 1. Luke writes for our certainty in following Jesus. And Luke wants us to know that we all need to imitate Mary's model of humble, servant-hearted, God-pleasing discipleship. Luke tells us that she's unmarried, but she's betrothed to Joseph. We don't know her exact age, but we know she's young. She would be called today, in today's terms, a teenager. And we know that, as Luke says, she is a virgin. She is chaste. And Mary is just going about her business when suddenly Mary is visited by the angel Gabriel. And this is in no way random, because after 400 silent years, as we began to see last time, after 400 silent years, God is on the move. Church, God is on the move. God is working out the promise given to our very first parents, Adam and Eve. The snake crusher will come to save his people from sin's eternal death curse. Hallelujah. And so, Gabriel shows up. God sent Gabriel, the text says, in the sixth month. The sixth month of what? Well, if you're tracking, it's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Context, right? Context is important. Luke says in the preface that he's going back. He tells Theophilus, right? I'm going back to recount everything from the beginning. I'm going back to the beginning of the story. So here you go. Here's the beginning of the story, and here's Gabriel again, you know? Here's Gabriel. And Gabriel has been doing God's business. And on cue, the angel who stands before the glorious presence of Almighty Eternal God, Gabriel, shows up to talk to Mary. Shows up where? Well, not in the capital, Jerusalem, or some famous town. Shows up in the obscure little village of Nazareth. Where is Nazareth? Luke knows that his readers probably are going to need a little more map help with Nazareth. So Luke adds that Nazareth's location is in the Sea of Galilee region. So everybody can be like, oh, okay, Sea of Galilee, I kind of know where that's at, you know. It's like when you tell people, oh, you know, where are you from, you know. You just point to your hand, or you tell them, you know. Sometimes, you know, you say Detroit, and they say, oh, I know Detroit, and they start talking about it. I'm like, well, I'm not really from right there. I live over here. I'm like, you know, but Luke wants us to know what happened, how Gabriel announced John's birth to the priest Zechariah in the capital of Jerusalem, in the holy place of the temple. But the infinitely greater birth of Jesus gets announced to humble Mary in this obscure town of Nazareth. Nathanael's question in John 1:46 reflects really the common thought of the time. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I hope you see that Messiah's amazing birth announcement declares to us that God's ways are so much higher. God's ways are infinitely higher than our ways. We need to be reminded of this. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, "For consider your calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you who are in Christ Jesus became to us wisdom from God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Are you boasting in the Lord? Because any other kind of boasting doesn't cut it. And God does not conform to our usual expectations. He has a way of blowing our expectations away with something that's always more amazing. He takes the obscure to show His surpassing greatness. And God's angel Gabriel suddenly walks inside with a message for Mary. Mary, hello. Just like it's just a Tuesday, you know, like, Mary, hello. You are dear and favored by grace. Yahweh, the Lord, is with you. Of course, an angel greeting is all very overwhelming, terrifying. And how is Mary to process all these words? Okay, what's going on here? But Gabriel speaks again the assurance of good news. Mary, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. And Gabriel then connects the amazing birth announcement of Jesus to God's ancient promise to David of a never-ending kingdom to come from David's blood, from David's household. The message is, Mary, don't be afraid of what God is doing. Don't be afraid. God is on the move. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to Him the throne of His father David, and He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of His kingdom there will be no end. So I hope that you can see Messiah's amazing birth announcement is also declaring this. God gave Jesus to fulfill His kingdom covenant with David. God gave Jesus to fulfill His kingdom covenant with David. The Lord initiated the Davidic covenant. You can read all about it in 2 Samuel chapter 7, where God says to him, David's like, oh, I'm going to build you a house. And God's like, no, I'm going to build you a house. God says, your throne will be established forever. Full stop. Daniel 7:14 and Micah 4:7 echo God's promise of this never-ending kingdom to come. And here, Mary gets the good news of the appointed time and the miracle birth that will bring our true King Jesus, the Son of God, the great Son of God Most High. He says, the offspring of David, ruling from David's throne, eternally over God's people. We still sing and pray that way, right? As we did just a few minutes ago. Jacob's people had suffered so much. They had suffered under the Assyrians. It suffered under the Babylonians. They suffered under the Persians. They suffered under the Syrian, the Greek Seleucids. They suffered still, suffering so much under the Romans. They hadn't had a Davidic king for like 600 years. And as they said, there hadn't been a prophetic word from God in like 400 years. But Gabriel shows up to say, God's not forgotten His promise. He's not forgotten the people of His promise. Be grateful that God's promise doesn't have an expiration date. We had a great time last week. Sorry you missed it, Mike. Yeah, we're in the Mediterranean. That's a little far. Yeah. But, you know, I hope we all enjoyed a happy Thanksgiving. We have so many reasons as Faith Bible Church to give thanks. And I thank you for just that time coming together and our Friendsgiving thanks feast. But, you know, when you're groceries, I was thinking about how you, in fact, there was something in the car in the back seat right now. Because we discovered the expiration date was like we bought it and like the expiration date is just like so close. Like, why did we buy this? You know, like we got to take this back. Just saying, you got to check the use by date on the package. And then hopefully you check it again, like before you take it out of the refrigerator, you take it out of the pantry. And I know some of you are like, oh, those dates don't matter. That's fine. You know, that was my... You know, I could tell those stories too. Like, Grandpa was pretty mad when we threw that food away, but it didn't look good. So, you know, we're familiar with the use-by date, the expiration date, but Gabriel shows up to say, hey, here's a truth you can take to the bank. God is a promise keeper. He always keeps his word. He is faithful and true. Everything he said, he will do. And nothing, not even death, can stand in the way of God's promise. And so I hope you understand that the second advent of Jesus is just as certain as his first advent. It's good for us to look back and remember there was a first advent. But it should give us certainty about what's to come. Who is to come? And what does Mary know? Mary knows her people's expectations for a Messiah, the promised Messiah, the anointed one. Those expectations are running really high. The expectations of the Jewish community, but they were a bit misguided, right? They expected, rescue from the Romans, like right now and in a hurry. They had these expectations. They just weren't expectations that were nearly big enough for Messiah. And yet there was a remnant of believers holding out in hope, holding on to God's promise. When God gives his promised king, they would tell their children, as I hope you're telling your children. Oh, when God gives his promised king, when the king comes, he will rule forever and ever. And that's Gabriel's message. He shows up to say, hey, the king is on the way. And behold, Mary, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus, Yeshua, salvation. Jesus had to be born without sin, born of a virgin to save us from sin's curse. And notice how Mary accepts this most amazing announcement in like the most remarkable way. She considers the news of God's great life-giving grace. And unlike Zechariah, there's no doubting of Gabriel's message. She's filled with holy wonder. But Mary immediately wonders about the biology of it all. And she eagerly seeks an explanation from Gabriel. I mean, certainly what Mary knows is that though she and her betrothed both have family tree connections going back to King David, she's a virgin. Later, Mary and Joseph, the word tells us, have children together. But at this point, as Mary says, she's never known a man. Mr. Angel Explain this to me. How can this happen? How can this be? How can this baby be conceived in me without me ever having experienced sexual intimacy? Fair question. And Gabriel answers Mary's fair question. Did you see that? Not with lots of details, but just with the bottom line, verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. So Messiah's amazing birth announcement also declares this, that what we call a supernatural miracle is just, it's God fulfilling His promise. It's amazing. Jesus is the Holy Son of God, fully God, and yet now also fully human. His birth was natural enough, but His conception was a supernatural miracle accomplished not at all through sexuality, but through the Holy Spirit's all-powerful, life-giving, glorious presence overshadowing Mary. This is the wonderful mystery of the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fullness of time. The eternal Son of God, the Son of the Most High, took on human flesh and human nature to be God with us. Emmanuel. And like Mary, we are meant to contemplate that there are mysteries in the way that God works. But we're also meant to be satisfied in the Advent reality that God is on the move. God is doing what He said. Listen, God knows how difficult this life can be. God knows that this life is often hard. But church, knowing the promise-keeping heart of God, as God has graciously revealed in His holy word, it's more than enough to satisfy the hearts of the faithful. He's told us everything we need to know. Is your heart satisfied in His word? Do you find His promise to be filling you with certainty and joy? Mary was faithful and favored. I mean, what a message of grace to receive from the Lord. To have Gabriel come all the way just to say, the Lord is with you. The Lord is certainly with you. But this is the message for all of us in Amazing Grace. The Lord is with you. How could Mary ever forget her Messiah's amazing birth announcement? Well, she never did. She treasured all these things in her heart. But Gabriel has even more encouragement to sustain Mary's faith. Behold, right? Behold, it's like, look at this, focus. Your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Because nothing will be impossible with God. Mary doesn't request a sign, but Gabriel gives her one as a bonus. Hey, there's another surprise baby announcement, Mary, and it connects with the one I've just given you. Your relative on your mom's side, cousin Elizabeth, she herself has conceived a son in her old age. Everybody has been calling her barren as a reproach for her whole life, but no longer. No longer. She's in her 6 month of pregnancy with the son that God has given to her and old Zechariah. And Gabriel directs Mary's faith and ours to the bottom line. Because with God, nothing will be impossible. There's such a long and winding biblical record of God graciously bestowing Most Unlikely Mother of the Year Award. The record of unlikely moms goes back to postmenopausal Sarah, who gave birth to her own son Isaac, not because of her own natural ability, but because of God's promise to her and to Abraham. Remember, next year, about this time, you will have a son. And God's angel delivers this throwback to Genesis 18 for Mary's encouragement. Really lifting it right out of Genesis 18:14. Is anything too wonderful or too supernatural for the Lord? No, God delights to give life to the most unlikely, as only God can. What we call a supernatural miracle is God just fulfilling His promise. God is God and we are not. The one true holy God, yes, He created the laws of nature for our good. But it's no problem for Creator God to show us His higher ways. God makes a way. Amen? When we say, well, there's no way. Oh no, God can make a way. You won't be able to understand comprehensively, but God is only calling you to trust Him implicitly. God is worthy of all of your faith and all of your worshipful service. And Luke records Mary's model response to Gabriel's announcement of Messiah's birth. And it shows us, well, God's already been preparing her heart. God has been working in Mary so that Mary's response is, behold, I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be just to me according to your word. You know, just what you said. That was the right answer. Gabriel is satisfied with that answer and he departs. Mary calls herself the Lord's willing slave, and she joyfully submits her will to God's word. And what about you? You may have heard this account too many times to count. But don't let familiarity breed contempt. Echo Mary's response. Make it your own. Lord, I'm your servant. Let it be for me just as your word declares. No matter what, no turning back. I mean, consider what Mary was up against to be a willing vessel for the Lord. There's a cost to it. There's a cost to following God's way. And Mary counted the cost. Luke tells us she was betrothed to Joseph. So what is Joseph going to say about all this? The ancient Jewish cultural practice of betrothal was way more serious than we commonly think of marriage engagement in our culture. Betrothal was the first stage of the marriage covenant, involving formal witnesses and an agreement to marry and the payment of a bride price. The marriage ceremony was then held usually about a year later. But any violation of this betrothal agreement was considered adultery. This is serious stuff. What did Mary know? Even if Joseph can accept the reality, people are going to assume the worst. People are going to judge me. People that I care about. But what did Mary do in this wonderful moment? Again, unlike Zechariah's doubting response to Gabriel's announcement of John, the prophet of God Most High, here Mary willingly submits in faith as the servant of the Lord. Instead of surrendering to her fears, Mary chooses to surrender in faith. Wow. God, give me that faith. That's why Gabriel has no rebuke for Mary. He only has encouragement It's all gracious favor from God. But friends, we need the same certain faith in God as Mary expressed. She was so young, but she was not at all superficial. Some of you guys maybe are looking for a woman like that, right? Mary was young, but she was not superficial. Mary had already cultivated submission to God and a careful, humble contemplation of the truth that matters. If you are one of those ones looking, be the right one. And ask God to give you the right one. But Luke records the fact that God was pleased to favor Mary among all his daughters with this amazing announcement of Messiah's birth. Because God is on the move. This is God graciously at work. The miraculous conception in the Blessed Virgin Mary's womb is God fulfilling his promise of salvation for everyone who will believe that Jesus is the Christ and Christ is the King, the Son of God Most High. So are you believing in God's promise? Are you believing in this Jesus with a word-driven certainty? Are you submitting yourself to Jesus with a word-centered service? God has given us all circles of relationships. This Advent season, this Christmas time, don't miss the point of Messiah's amazing birth announcement. Don't miss the meaning of Christmas. It is all about Jesus. He is our great Savior. He is our rightful King. The forever King. So may God help us to submit to Jesus in faith and serve him with a joyful wonder. God, you're on the move. What are you going to do next, God? Faith Bible Church, we are confronted with many of life's challenges. There are people that we miss. But faith in God sees the difficulties as opportunities to see what God will do. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? No! So don't be afraid. Nothing is impossible for God. All of God's promises are yes and amen because of the advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has come and he will come again to save his people. Hallelujah. Would you stand together with me? As we think on these things, Father, I pray that you would mold us and make us, strengthen our focus and our faith in you. And our expectation and wonder of who you are and what you will do. And help us to be your witnesses. And if there was someone who is hearing your gospel today for the first time or the appointed time, Lord, we give you thanks that you are drawing them to yourself. Please give them the assurance and the satisfaction that Jesus is exactly who your word reveals him to be. Brothers and sisters, let's pray the model prayer that Jesus taught us to pray in believing expectation, which is the prayer that Mary and millions of other Jesus followers have lifted up to the Father over the generations. And it's our privilege to pray. So let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the glory, and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's lift our voices again together.